Thank you very much. I just was going to ask, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do section by section, okay? Because I just think if we wait, then we won't get to it.
Okay.
All right, so any questions from members of the committee? Representative Blair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a good start so far with A. I really appreciate it. My only question is the 10 nautical miles away from any land area, and I'm wondering if that's one of those situations where we just pick a nice number that sounds good, or if it's based on actual science.
Yeah.
Doc, thank you very much, Aviv, for all of your hard work, and glad you could be here.
Thank you again for considering these changes that we're, the university and others are proposing. The 10 nautical mile distance comes from a variety of parts. One of the things that's very important to us is to get to an area where there's a lot of wind. And the farther you get from the coast, the better the wind gets. So that's one reason. The other very important reason is we want to get them as far away as possible so people don't have to see them. Because of the curvature of the Earth, the farther you get, the less likely you'll be able to see it.
7 miles, right?
Actually, depends on how high the towers are.
Obviously.
For example, if you're at 300 feet of height to the hub, you will not be able to see it at about 20 miles at all. It'll go beyond the horizon. So the other really important reasons is get away from the areas where the fisheries are. So the farther you get from the coast, the less there are fishing activities. So in talking to a variety of people and fishermen, those 80%, for example, of all the lobsters are fished within 3 miles. So the farther you go from the coast, there's less issues with the fishery. So a number of reasons.
But you're satisfied that 10 is a good number and not just a number that we picked out of a hat.
That's correct.
That's all I'm concerned about.
That's correct. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions of Representative Van Wee?
Thank you. Great start. Addressing a number of my concerns. The 25 megawatts for this offshore, my first reaction is that enough to make anything worthwhile for somebody to do that? And if you're going to issue an RFP, might you say preference given to something 25 megawatts or less, but if you need bigger than that, propose as small as you can or something like that, because it's obviously at that distance scale may mean that 25, I don't know where 20, 25 megawatts come from somewhere, or is it the same question as Representative Flaherty said?
Excellent question, by the way. The goal in the long run, of course, is to build larger, much larger farms. The farms that scale in terms of cost need to be in the 500 megawatt range to 1,000 megawatt range. That's the experience we've seen in Europe right now. To give you a sense, a 1,000 megawatt range is roughly the equivalent of a nuclear power plant, of worth of wind. It will take up a real estate of 8 miles by 8 miles, 20 miles off the coast of Maine. Now, why 25 megawatt? What we have is a deliberate process to walk before we run, if you wish, and allow the industry in Maine and the supply chain in Maine to build and the experience in Maine to build. So actually what we're starting with is not even a 25 megawatt. We're starting with putting together a third-scale single unit, about 100 megawatt in the water next year as part of our research programs. Once that's in and we shake the bugs out of it, the next step is build a larger unit in a 4-megawatt single unit and test that out. And then when we're ready then, expand that to a larger 25-megawatt farm and learn how to connect all the pieces together, bring them back to shore, and learn the issues with construction, get the industry in Maine ready to go out and build them. And then eventually take that 25-megawatt farm and expand it into the 500 or 1,000-megawatt farm. So that's the process.
My concern is just by setting up the terms of this, I don't want to create a null set that just says, we said 25 and we said all these other conditions, and people don't reply at all. I'd rather have them reply and say, this is the best I can do. I don't want to go through the exercise and end up with no applications if we just pick the numbers wrong. That's my opinion.
I think that's an excellent question, an excellent point. In talking to a variety of potential investors in Maine and potential developers, they'd all like to start with a number near 25 megawatts. but with the ability to increase that beyond 25 in the future. So maybe we can clarify the language saying start with 25 or more if you'd like to, and then with the idea that you're going to go beyond that. So, thank you.
Representative Fletcher. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure I understand the proposal before I... if I look at... it's really on page 1, item 4, but it talks about if the commission determines the contract prices... likely to exceed the projected market price. Are we talking retail price or wholesale price?
It's, you know, you compare retail to retail or wholesale to wholesale. So if you're comparing to market retail, you'd be comparing to market retail. If you're comparing to market wholesale, as long as you're making the same comparison. But we bet language could be clarified.
Okay.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And you know, I think that's important, just the way that
sure.
flows back through and gets over a stranded cost.
Exactly.
And I realize that this is just a proposal and people have been working hard on it. Has, under, on page 2, it talks about in no event shall the commission approve a long-term contract that would result in an increase in electric rates that is greater than the SPC charge in effect at the time. I need to understand what that means. Does that mean just for that portion of kilowatt hours generated or the total system benefit charge equivalent for all the electricity?
Yeah, I haven't written that one, but my understanding is the latter is the correct answer.
So it's total 12 to 13 million
right.
is what we normally
get. Spread over the entire system. That's the understanding. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct. We assume that it was spread over all ratepayers.
And just to use that as an order of magnitude type number, what that is principally saying is that there wouldn't be a long-term contract signed if it was going to cost more than 12 to 13 million, which is what that system benefit charge at the time, assuming we don't raise it. Correct?
We calculated based on a range of what we thought the price would be. We did a range of 20 to 25 cents, and we... did the rate calculation, and what it came down to was a mil to a mil and a half. So it's, you know, just around in the ballpark of the system benefit charge. And so that's where it came out. So if it costs more than that and you didn't get the revenues from these other
right.
1 through 4s, you couldn't do it.
Okay.
Right, because you can't have a rate impact of more than that.
And right. yeah, if it could, Mr. Chairman. Under the assumption that the 10-mile-plus generator lead line
yeah.
will be not provided by the project, but would be provided back through the transmission rates, T&Ds, do we have any idea what that cost could be, number one? And number two, is that in the cap of 0.14? The SBC charge, or is that outside of the SBC charge? I'll go through it again.
Yeah, no, I understand.
The premise was that under some circumstances, the generator may not be able to afford the lead line, to generate a lead line, assuming around 10 miles. My assumption is it's got to be at least 10 miles before you get inshore.
Right.
And then from wherever it goes from there. Is that SBC cap, does that include the cost of the generator lead line under the assumption?
If you wanted to.
Oh, well, gee, that's a little bit like.
I mean, I think that under Section 8.2, or, yeah, the section we talked earlier, the first page of the amendment. In this case, the generator or, the commission could direct CMP or Bangor Hydro to own the lead line
right.
and to rate base it, right, under if these conditions are met. And so the question is, right, will it be the total cost or just the energy cost?
Right. And from what we heard last time when we talked about the bill, Mr. Chairman, the prevailing thought, and I just had that confirmed from the PUC, is that generator lead line, transmission line, would not be socialized. So
right.
that's going to be clearly
main.
Main.
Okay. It won't be socialized throughout the ISO, right, because it's a FERC. Yeah.
Right. And before we get through this whole discussion, I think I'd have to see what the economic analysis criteria will be to go through 1 through 4, particularly with identifying the economic benefits in total, so that if we're going to make a decision around this, what are we really going to look at, and
right,
how does that flow through? But not now. That's later.
Okay.
What I'd like to do, any more questions from anyone, what I want to try to do is get some participation. Instead of going through the whole thing, and then I'd like to try to get some of the stakeholders involved because they've been here a long time. So we've got